Save big this summer with great deals. All in the Kroger app.
Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic. There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and internal mystery.
Internal?
Yes.
Internal or eternal?
Eternal.
I like internal.
And I'm in a building.
I'm the external J Clone 71. He gives you the ins, I gives you the outs, and somewhere in between lies the truth.
We're coming to you from Ronald McDonald Studios. We're in the public lobby, so if you hear anybody shuffle behind us, be prepared.
Or comment on the weird stuff we're saying or talking about.
That was funny. That was on Wednesday's episode. Yeah. You guys will hear that at some point.
Bogey.
Before this one, actually. They're all out of order.
Yeah.
Because of the editing. All right. So today's episode topic came from Brandon the Okie.
Okie Brandon.
Yeah.
Patreon member, Discord contributor,
yeah.
Extraordinaire.
Financer of the expedition, the Trans Alps expedition. Make sure you guys check it out.
Links below. Trans Alps Giant Salamander. We're going to rediscover. Kickstarter is active. All we need to do is we fund it. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. All right, guys. So this is kind of a twofold episode idea.
Ooh.
We wanted to do an episode that's kind of like scary stories that play around the campfire. So you guys can kind of skip the intro and I'll try to do them in my best scary voice and we'll kind of talk about them so you can play them around, you know, while you guys are getting ready to start camping and setting up fires and stuff like that.
Be perfect.
They're also Reddit stories. So here's the interesting thing with Reddit is there's a lot of fake stuff out there, sure, with creepypastas and stuff like that. But I personally feel from reading and looking into a lot of stuff, there's a lot of real stories out there where this is one of the few places people feel confident to share it.
Shares, yeah.
You know, anonymity.
Anonymity.
Yeah, sea anemone.
Yeah.
Where they can share it without really knowing because it's all, you know, user handles and stuff like that. Even like the Facebook groups, it's attached to you.
Right. Yeah.
The user handles kind of are a nice way to like get rid of that. Instagram, now being connected to Facebook, you can click a couple buttons and look at their Facebook profile.
And just be up. You'd be connected to that person, yeah.
So I think a lot more stories come out through here.
Between here and 4chan.
No, thank you. 4chan is the devil.
Yeah, but it's anonymity.
Or they're right in the middle. Don't go to 4chan. Nobody go to 4chan. I didn't read any of these stories fully through. I read about a paragraph of each of them. Besides the sea monster one, we'll get to that. I read about a paragraph of each of them, and I picked highly upvoted ones, so I could be surprised with you guys as well.
Ooh.
But we'll give our opinions about each of these stories, too, at the end.
Okay.
Because that's kind of the mixed bag with this, because I tried to pick, I think I picked 6 or 7 cryptids and kind of looked for stories that involve those creatures.
Okay.
To kind of, you know, give us a good flavor of all those, a mixed bag. Who do you think is on this list?
Bigfoot.
You think Bigfoot's on this list? Anybody else?
Dog man.
Think about really scary ones for a campfire.
Well, I mean, those are the two probably most creepy.
They are scary. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Dogman's scary. Bigfoot's scary. I found really bad Bigfoot stories, too. Ones we are not family friendly.
Yeah.
That I think really do happen.
Yeah.
But you never hear anybody talk about them.
Because they're not existing anymore.
No, no. I mean, like, sexual.
Ew.
Not like the one crazy guy on YouTube that, you know, says he was picked up by Bigfoot or whatever like that. I mean, like, a juvenile Sasquatch or young Sasquatch, specifically males.
Yeah.
Doing behaviors.
Yeah.
That teenage, you know, humans or other primates and stuff like that would also do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those stories, which I think they do happen. I just don't think they get a lot of light due to their the nature of the subject.
Right. You don't want to be the one spreading that story around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially like kids and stuff.
So what's a really scary cryptid or paranormal entity? If you just looked over doing the stuff we've been doing for 3 years now, if you just looked over and seen this, this would be really bad.
Probably something flying would creep me out, like really scare me. I'm trying to think of one like specifically that I don't know. Let's go with it's gonna bother me. Something on all fours, something big. Grafton Monster wouldn't be that scary, but it'd be big and creepy to see.
How about I go the exact opposite?
Oh, something small?
Small Chupacabra. And bipedal.
Chupacabra.
Black-eyed kids.
Or that one, of course, yes, okay.
Yeah, this one, yeah. Black-eyed kids is one of those you look at. And like you said, the Grafton Monster, it would be scary to be in front of.
Yes, exactly, but it wouldn't be, but I wouldn't guess.
I'm not scared of it, though.
Because it's not going to. What's never hurt anybody that we know of,
that we know of, you know? It's not like Bigfoot where there's a mixed bag of encounters and stuff like that. Black-eyed kid ones, at the bare minimum, are always creepy.
Yeah, and they always want in. And
at the bare minimum.
Right.
And on the extremophiles, I think people just go missing. And then there's a lot of the middle ones, like when we did our Black-eyed kids episode.
Yeah.
Like when they get in your house and stuff like that.
Or they want to, or they're questioning.
You remember what the Men in Black picked up those two that got into that couple's house during a storm.
Right, yep. But they wouldn't let them use the phone or something.
No, they wanted to use the phone.
They wanted to use the phone, yes. Yeah. That's what it was.
And then a black car picked them up.
Yeah, it's weird.
All right. So this is from Reddit user Dan Marina.
Oh, nice.
Which I feel like is a famous name.
Well, Dan Marino was an NFL quarterback for the Dolphins back in the...
I'm like, I feel like I know that name.
80s, 90s.
This is from the Black Eyed Kids Encounter subreddit.
Okay.
So there's literally hundreds. Which, like I said, you know, is one of these things that I think Reddit does a good job of, is giving people a space to just dump their encounters and, you know, and not get judged, because there's literally hundreds of Black Eyed Kids encounters in there. So here's their experience. Before I explain my experience, I feel it necessary to tell you how much of a non-believer I was of many things. I pretty much called BS on everything except some spirits. I had too many experiences in my 32 years to not believe in the afterlife and spirits, which I guess now makes me sound a bit silly, because why would it be true but other unexplainable things be not? And pause. That happens a lot. A lot of people, I think, which is fine. You have your own beliefs, but cherry kind of pick, you know, the paranormal.
Right, yeah. Depending on what your beliefs are, overall outlook is, you're going to view it through that lens.
You have your beliefs. I'm just saying that happens. That's not as uncommon as I think the experiencer
thinks. Yeah.
Anyways, one evening about 3 months ago, I was sitting in my car listening to my favorite Stevie Nicks song and smoking. And before you say anything, I know how bad it is to smoke, and I'm fully aware of the terrible things smoking can cause. And we're all going to die one day, right?
Right.
I chose to live my life and enjoy myself and my cigarettes while doing so. So I was in my car, in my own little world, when I saw two children who seemed to have come out of nowhere begin heading straight towards my car. I thought it was strange, especially being as late as it was. But hey, who am I to judge? I thought they would pass by me and continue walking to wherever. But I quickly realized they were approaching my driver's side window. Creepy, but okay. I chose to just sit there instead of rolling my window down. I'm sorry, I misread that. I chose to just get out instead of rolling down my window, because I felt rolling down my window was a bit rude And to be honest, I wanted to be as close to the front or my front door of my home as possible. You know, just in case things got weird. And oh boy, did they get weird. As I was about to get out, or as I was getting out, one of the children, a little girl, about six, asked why I was getting out. I simply answered, because I'm heading in for the night. I followed up with, you guys okay? They both quickly responded with, no, we are scared. The other child, a little boy, asked, may we sit in your car until our parents come?
Okay.
This is a little bit of a different side to these encounters.
Yeah.
I thought until your parents come, or parents come, where are your parents and where are they coming to? I asked where they lived, in which they answered, down the road. So I told them it was getting late and they better just head home. At that moment, both children peered up at me at the exact same time. It was with this I noticed their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
The eyes were like I've never seen before. Dark. Very dark. The eyes were unnaturally dark and cold. So very cold. I immediately got uncomfortable. The kind of feeling that makes you fight or flight kick in. I knew I needed to get away from these kids and quick. I told them I was heading in and the little girl asked, may we come in? And I, of course, said no. He uses some other words.
Okay.
But of course I said no, and it was I was trying to be very polite. Children started to putting off an almost annoyed and anger vibe.
Okay.
So when he says no, you know, probably using some expletives, the kids immediately he feels this anger against, like
they're frustrated. Like, mm-hmm. Come on, let us in.
I again told the children they need to head home, and the best I could do was call the police when I get inside. I said goodbye and headed towards my front door. They followed me. It was at this time I got very assertive. These children were not coming into my home. They both began mumbling things. I could not make out whether it was they were saying and it was or it was some kind of sound. I made it inside, turned to lock the door, and that's when the knocking began. Are you kidding me? Why won't these kids get the hint? I'm not answering the door. No way. I called my boyfriend and explained everything. I thought I sounded crazy, but he agreed to head over and stay the night so I would feel safer. Needless to say, the children eventually gave up and went back to wherever the creepy, soulless hole they crawled out of. I hate to talk about these kids because they were not normal kids, not even close. I've never seen these black-eyed kids since, and I pray I never see them again. But by no means am I a writer, so I apologize for my grammar and pronunciation mistakes. I feel the need to share this story and hope others can offer advice or at least let me know that I'm not the only one. I can't be the only one, right? And user, you're not.
Right, yeah.
Whether
it's true or not, you know.
I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because I personally think this is maybe a true story.
Okay.
And because it's not a copy-paste black-eyed kids encounter. Several different things happen.
Yeah.
And then, you know, creative writing exercise and stuff. I know I read some grammar mistakes. That wasn't just my normal reading ability. There are several large mistakes. That even I noticed.
Yeah.
And it's not. It happens. You know, it's fine. But it's, you know. So when she's going inside, I'm assuming it's a she because a boyfriend, but who
right,
am I to know? I have no idea. But I'm going to assume it's a woman. When she's going inside and they're like, well, can we get in your car?
Right. I mean, she was just sitting in her car, so.
But normally.
They want to go inside your house.
They want the people. Wherever the people are, they want to be in with the people.
Yeah.
So that to me is a weird offset thing.
Hmm.
And to me, that kind of is one of these weird details and how my brain works with talking about these stories that I kind of look at to say that there may be something real.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make a lot of sense to us.
Right, yeah.
So.
What's the point of adding that in there if it didn't actually happen?
Yeah. So why do you think the kids wanted to get in the car?
Well, I wonder if that's when they first spotted her. They had their attachment, you know, to her. Obviously, they were going directly to her. So maybe for some reason they had her picked out and whatever. I don't know what their intent. I don't know the intents, what they do. Let's say they do get into someone's home or their car in this case. What happens after that? Like if they're going to vampire, steal your soul, steal your blood. I don't know what their intent is. Steal your, suck your energy from out of your body. I don't know. But wonder if like when they first initially target you or have you on their list, it's where you're residing at that moment. So maybe like maybe that plays some significance into it. Like if you're in your house and you're already there and they're coming for you, like they want you, and so they knock on your door, but they need in that space. They need inside in order to do what they need to do. So maybe they notice they're in the car and they're like, all right, we need in that car. It's already pre-programmed. Like, this is what we got to do.
I kind of had a similar thought, a little different, but a similar thought. Go ahead. You finish yours.
I was just thinking maybe they're like, Black Eyed Kids are like kind of like the drone, like gray alien type beings.
Hmm.
And so they're programmed like, okay, you see the person in this.
You go for that space.
Yep. It has to be there in that spot. So they don't know any better. Oh, yeah, we want to be in your car. Is they can't even function or even imagine they're switching to a new home. That's why they're asked, like, why are you leaving? Why are you getting out? No, you need to be in there. That's how the only way we can perform this.
Building off of that, you remember our original Black Eyed Kids episode? It's been probably a year and a half.
Where they knocked on the doors, raining outside.
We did tons of them.
Yeah.
But no, we talked about maybe there are whatever the Men in Black, the paranormal side of the Men in Black, or the mirrored men.
Yeah.
That these are offspring or young ones or whatever.
Yeah,
training.
Juvenile. Yeah.
And so if they are more like machine learned.
Right.
Training,
yes. That's kind of, yeah.
I could see something like that, that they're still trying to get that. Let's say it's like an AI learning model where there's hiccups.
This was the programming put in, like, this.
But this is the point for these tests. To help them get better at being adaptable,
right?
You know, changing with the circumstances and stuff like that. But we have the very much the similar big black eyes that don't get noticed until, you know, agitation occurs.
Yeah.
Whenever the trance or the spell is broken,
then it's like, okay.
Then it's like, but you know, they're huge.
Yeah.
So people
like shark eyes.
Yeah. So she didn't see them or was ignoring them, and there's whole thing where they kind of force you to ignore them, kind of deal. At least parts of them. A little girl and a little boy, very young, you know, six. That's pretty young for the Black Eyed Kids. Normally it's 12 to, you know, 10 kind of range.
Yeah.
Very late at night. This would be a problem for me. Kids that are 12, 13, I'd probably ignore that late at night.
Yeah.
A six-year-old?
You can't really ignore that.
I'm going to try to help.
Right, yeah.
Because that's a six-year-old late at night.
That's not good. It's never a good situation.
Yeah. A six-year-old, you know... I don't know. To me, it's just I'm just thinking about a little kid walking around.
Right. Yeah.
That's a little kid.
Yeah. He can't take care of himself.
Yeah. Probably got out of the house in an accident or something like
right,
that.
Right. Yeah. Something's
I just
wrong.
Seen a video of that trucker that saved like a 2-year-old. They crawled out on the highway.
Holy crap!
My mom was. This isn't any shot at her parent or anything like that. Kids are fast.
Oh yeah, they.
She was vacuuming, and the kid was in the playpen, knocked the playpen over, and was out in the front yard. But the dog was the only reason he noticed the baby.
Ah.
Because the dog was like standing in front of the truck and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Was going to get hit by this semi.
Right, yeah.
And he didn't see the kid. The kid is on the side of the road, not in the road.
Yeah.
So he stops, looks, and then he sees like a baby crawling out.
Yeah, so the dog got the guy's attention. Mm-hmm. That when I was in college going to OSU Lima, that one of our professors used to drive from main campus Columbus, Ohio, up to the branch campus. Just outside of Kenton, he was driving down that stretch of road, 309, and he seen like a 3-year-old in a diaper, barefoot, walking down the highway. And he was the one that pulled over, like, what is happening? Got this kid, picked him up, put him in his car, called police. They found the kid was like a mile and a half from home, just walking down a major highway in just a diaper, no shoes, nothing. Nobody knew he was gone. Just wandering.
We'll get off this topic real soon.
Yeah.
Well, I just seen another one where I think a couple in Daytona, Florida got in a lot of trouble because he got really drunk on the beach.
Yeah.
Three young kids.
Seen that too. Yeah.
And they were like 4 or 5 miles away because they got in a little raft.
Yeah.
And the current just took them.
That happened to me when.
And they woke the dad up and they're like,
your kids are.
He's like, where's your kids?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, right there.
Right.
And he's just generally pointing at a group of kids out in the ocean. He's like, where's your kids?
And yeah.
And then they tried to fight the cops when they were getting arrested.
Yep, bad. I seen that too. Which we
don't punch. Don't no matter how wrong a cop is or whatever. Don't punch a cop.
Yeah, nah. Yeah.
Immediately your situation gets worse, five to ten.
Yeah. When we were kids, we went to Middle Beach as a family vacation. We did it a couple times growing up, and me and my two brothers, all three of us before my sister was born, we were just out in the ocean, just playing, just screwing around, you know, playing
having
in
fun.
The water. Couple hours go by, we don't know. Here comes my dad walking down the beach. He's like, hey, let's go back to the
Or where we're supposed to be.
All right. Okay, it's right there.
And you realize you're and 2 miles away?
We're literally 2 miles away. Like down the beach, just way down the beach.
And I was in Lake Michigan when that kid ended up like 4 miles out.
Yeah.
And a trout fisherman found him.
Jeez.
And then one of those giant pink flamingos.
Yeah.
The pool party things for like,
yeah.
Like a 3-year-old.
Oh my gosh.
Dad didn't know he was gone.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah. Anyways.
It happens. Back to the Black Eyed Kids.
So they get angry, right? And they start banging on the door and stuff that. What do you think about? Do you think it's a real story or not? That's kind of the end of it.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah. Like I said, it has some elements. It's weird that she would bring up the car thing. Like, why would you?
A lot of weird details that don't normally, if you're copying and pasting a Black Eyed Kids encounter.
Right, yeah. That's not.
There's a lot of new stuff. Whether she's either a really good writer, which.
Could be.
She could have added some stuff to throw me off.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, there are mistakes I noticed.
Yeah.
Grammarly.
I gotcha.
Which is.
Wouldn't.
Anybody that's read my scripts.
Or just say anyone that would be a creative writer trying to wouldn't probably make those mistakes too.
Yeah, if I can find them.
Unless this is really a 5D chess story.
All right, my next monster.
Okay.
Now, who would be another one? This is the reason you don't pee on the side of the road.
Ooh, side of the road?
Mm-hmm.
A not deer.
Pale crawlers.
Pale crawlers. Close.
Good guess.
That's close.
Good guess. So this is from JJJ Jimmy.
Jimmy.
And it's just 8 days ago you posted this.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Most of these, there's a couple really old ones and a couple really new ones.
Okay.
Like I said, I just kind of picked the most upvoted ones in their category. And this is from the Pale Crawler Sightings subreddit. So like I said, there's a lot of like pretty much all of these. I just went dog man sightings.
Gotcha.
X sightings.
Yeah.
And there's a subreddit for these that have thousands, tens of thousands of people. All right. So I encountered something like a pale crawler many years ago. JJ Jimmy says, I'm kind of blown away that there's a subreddit for this, whatever people are calling these crawler things. I saw something many years ago that matches what is being described as these pretty much exactly. I posted about it a couple places in the past years, kind of hoping to get other sightings, something similar, but no one ever really seemed to know what it was. A couple weeks ago, I posted a very brief description of my encounter on another subreddit, and someone pointed me to this subreddit. I'm trying to keep it brief. This was a time in the mid-80s. The location is on an island in Gears Ferry Lake, Arkansas, called Sugar Loft. It's a hilltop that sticks out of the lake. There's a trail that you can kind of follow up the south side of the hilltop. I was with my girlfriend. I had a boat, and we had gone to the island to climb up to see the scenic view. We climbed to the top, looked around, and started back down. It was almost sunset, but not quite dark. Visibility was still very good. And as we walked down the trail, we began to hear something pacing at us towards in the woods. It sounded like it was 100 to 150 feet off the trail. It sounded like somebody was walking through dead leaves and brush. I couldn't see what it was, but I could tell you by the sound it pretty much where it was at the time. Didn't think much of it until we stopped for a second and noticed that it stopped as well. So I get that. Like deer and bear and stuff like that. I've been around all those animals. Sometimes deer will pace you.
Yeah.
They'll follow you through the woods and stuff like that too. A lot of times I think when they follow you, they think you're another deer.
Okay. So they're just curious or they're.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it happens. I don't know why they do it, but it does happen. So I get why at first, you know, that's not terribly weird.
Yeah. But
when it stops with you, that's the thing. A lot of those animals don't just stop. That's a predator thing. Because the predator doesn't want you to know they're there.
Oh, gotcha. Well, I was wondering, too, what if it's a prey thing where they just know, like, if this thing's moving and I'm moving with it, I have a less likely chance to be heard.
See, most of the time it seems to be more of a predatory thing.
Yeah, I know. Like
deer
stalking.
And stuff like that. Just, they'll keep walking.
Right, yeah.
You got them. Herbivores have different, you know, their ability is more for detection.
Right.
Not being found.
Right.
All right, so when we started walking again, we heard it start moving again. It felt like we were being stalked. It tested us a few times by stopping and starting. It matched our movements every time perfectly. So in my mind, I felt like it was probably some hiker or camper on the island trying to have a bit of fun with us. After descending most of the way to the shore, I kind of was getting very upset about this because it had started to feel very, very creepy. I told my friend that I was going to try to see who it is. I started off the path towards the noise we had heard coming from. I noticed that the first time since hearing it, it was no longer matching my movements. I couldn't hear any movements but my own. I walked about 100 feet off the path and felt like it was was close to where I had heard its movements last. This was pretty thick woods. I stopped and looked around, not seeing anything. Then, about 30 feet away from me, I saw a figure run in behind a tree. It looked to be about 7 foot tall. It was extremely thin humanoid shape. I would call it almost skeletal. Thinking a very tall, thin, long-lived skeleton wrapped around with very white skin is a pretty good description. It was almost running away from me. I didn't see its face. No clothes, just very white skin. It's like it was moving incredibly fast, and it disappeared into the woods within a second. It was running straight up, not crawling around. I was stunned at the sight of it. I remember thinking, that can't be right, over and over again. It was very, very unnatural. I wanted to run. I couldn't lift my legs. Every fiber in my being was screaming, run. I was physically unable to take another step for about 30 or 40 seconds, paralyzed from either fear or shock, I guess. I'm not really sure. Finally, I was able to start back on the path and rejoin my friend. We got down to the path to our boat and got out of there. And that's it. Not much more to tell. It was the strangest thing I've ever experienced. So, yeah. Very pale crawler-esque.
Right. Yep.
We did our Melonheads episode and stuff like that. You know, it kind of, that one Melonhead encounter kind of sounded like this too.
That ran
you didn't
up.
Get to see the head or the face.
The
very
face,
good.
Yeah. That's what I would like to have heard a description of, but.
Do you remember our really scary tale from the Uinta Basin finale with the pale crawler on the mountain?
The story behind it?
Very similar. So the father, I was either the father's son or grandpa's son or grandson. Well, were coming out of the woods being paced
yes.
by something. And the dad was pretty sure it was a mountain lion.
Right.
And finally they shine the flashlight on it, and it's just, he said it was very, very thin, skeletal, giant, kind of wrapped around a tree.
Right.
Looking at them.
So weird.
And there's another legend that I think we're going to do a full episode on eventually. It's called The Hide Behind, which is another, it's black though, or dark colored.
Right.
But a skeletal creature that wraps into the trees like that, kinda, so you can't see them.
Yeah, camouflages in with it.
Yeah.
Like taking the shape.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like people poke at the Hide Behind because it kind of got lumped into the fearsome woodland or the fearsome lumberland creatures.
Yeah.
It's a legend way before that also. It's one of the few from that book
that already
had
existed.
Some bones before that.
Okay.
And I kind of think it's tied into whatever these pale crawlers may be, whether they're Wendigo or whatever. Do you think this one's real?
Well,
it's just an opinion.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter.
I can't make an opinion yes or no whether I truly think it, because if he would have given me a face description and
like you said, it was running from him.
Yeah, I know. So we didn't get to see it. So
I think it's not to interrupt.
Oh, no,
I think it's mostly because it wasn't dark enough yet.
Okay.
So when we a lot of the pale crawler encounters, if you remember the episode we did with pale crawlers particularly, dusk. Like, it's when that changed to dusk to dark.
Yeah.
Is when they get really aggressive. Or unless it's kids. Because remember that one that attacked the dog and the little girl?
Yeah.
And the dog ended up saving it?
Yes.
Or saving her. Sorry, not it.
The little girl.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think they're opportunistic predators. And I think it was pacing them. And there's a lot of behaviors that make sense in this story.
Okay.
He was an adult man. It wasn't dark yet. He got the creature got caught,
yeah,
and they were close to the boat, so I think that's why it bolted. It knew the jig's up, the game's over.
Yeah,
I think they are strong, but I think they're like any. I think they have some physical bounds to them, to where if you can catch them and hit them with a tomahawk or something like that,
you're gonna be all right.
They're gonna get really hurt or die.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know if they're too they're hyper predators, but they're. They have to get the jump on you, that's your thing, and if
like a mountain lion, right?
Yeah,
that's why I think to me this has some validity. It's because if I were to sub the word pale crawler with mountain lion, the story makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's pacing you. You called its bluff,
and then it's gone. And
then it's gone.
Yeah, I could see that. Okay,
but to me, I don't know. Like I said, this it's Reddit.
Right.
We'll
never know. And it kind of makes me think of Ross's. Encounter. I don't remember if that was a Patreon episode or not with Ross when he told his story about
the grinning guy.
Yeah, like something like that.
That was sure to be a public episode.
I think it was. I can't remember.
Ross had some scary encounters.
Yeah.
All right. Who's next? Big and hairy.
Bigfoot.
Dog man.
Okay.
I led you astray on purpose.
You. You rascal.
And this is from subreddit Cryptid Creatures Encounters.
Ooh.
Dog person encounter from my childhood from Secure Interceptor.
Okay.
This is post 28 days ago, but it's from their childhood.
Okay.
So Tucson, Arizona. I had my encounter when I was 5 years old. I was living with my mother in our apartment in Tucson, Arizona. My mother worked as a waitress to pay our bills, provide a roof over our heads and food in our fridge. She worked nights. Even though I was young, she gave me responsibilities of getting myself ready for bed. One August night, during a full moon, I lay awake in bed. The window was open in order to cool off the room. I'm not sure what had stirred me up, but as I lay in bed, I looked around my bedroom. The light from the moon lit the entire room. I could see everything clearly. I was just looking around my room when I happened to notice the vent above my bedroom door. I just stared at the vent in the air. Nothing special, but while I was looking at it, a thin black smoke started to issue slowly out of it. It rolled out of the vent towards the floor in front of the door. While I was watching it, it started to take form. It became a woman in an old-fashioned style dress. It had the buoyance in the bell shape. The shoulders were puffed out, and the waist was thin. And then the belt went out to the floor. It was black with white flowers painted all over it, like an old Victorian-style dress. It was high on the neck. The head was not that of a human. It looked like a black German shepherd. It was panting and facing right at me. As I watched, it slowly turned its gaze towards me. It was still panting. I saw its eyes catching the reflection of the moonlight. I screamed in horror, rushed towards the door with the light switch, and was it was left to the door. After turning on the lights, the thick black smoke again, it issued back into the vent, crawling back.
Mm.
It took several seconds for it fully to disappear into the vent. After I turned on the lights, I never saw anything like this again, but I refused to sleep the nights off for years. This is from Jeremy.
That's an interesting story.
One thing with my shadow people encounter, and this isn't the shadow people encounter, I slept with the lights on forever.
Yeah.
Ever. I mean, into adulthood.
Yeah. Still now.
Yeah. I can sleep in the dark and stuff like that, but if I'll leave lights on just because I'm used to it.
Barely. You always have me when we're on the road. Keep the light on.
Well, yeah, you cannot turn off my Manta Ray nightlight.
Right.
No, so what do you think about this one? Stupid weird?
No, it's weird, but we've talked to some people that have had some weird encounters, names I won't name, but one of them being like a paranormal ghost like dog man inside of a house where it's kind of physical, like it's something's there, but it's not physical. I've heard a couple stories like that.
Are you talking? Oh yeah.
Someone that we know.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about his encounter.
Where it was physically like a dog man inside the house.
I forgot about that because I was very intoxicated and it was super late that night and he was telling us.
Yeah. And I
blocked that out on purpose because that was horrifying.
We're in the same, so we know the same person we're talking about.
I would, if that happened to me,
yeah,
I would stop doing this.
Okay.
It would just be a nature podcast. We'd never talk about anything paranormal again. And I have had several paranormal encounters. Yeah. But I think when you can't keep a dog man out,
yeah,
with a door.
Well, see, there's some weird stuff though, because it wasn't like a. There's right. That one, but then there's another story I heard from somebody else that was sharing. This lady we met at a conference shared a story of someone that she knows, and she showed me pictures and stuff on her phone, the photos that the person has, like security photos, mm-hmm. And it's almost like a Bigfoot type entity within their house, but it's like, it's like a ghost as well, too. Like, yeah. Ghostly. Just eerie.
There's several of those. Black Shucks, a famous one.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're Black Shucks. Monsters Among Us, Derek Hayes' show. Sorry.
That's what they referred to it as?
He had several really compelling voice calls to where giant wolves or German shepherd-like entities,
yeah,
would just show up into people's houses and start roaming.
Yeah.
The one kid, and we're going to do a whole episode, probably a whole, maybe a season finale eventually. Kids versus the paranormal.
Okay.
Because there's tons of these that I truly believe, where these kids at night have these truly terrifying experiences or even some pleasant ones. Like there's the famous one where it's like the space, the cowboy T-Rex from space, that this kid was visited by an entity until it was an alien. It was a gray alien pretending to be this thing.
Pretending to be a cowboy T-Rex?
Like, yeah, because that was one of the kid's toys.
I could see that.
So they was putting on these faces, these monikers to make the kids feel comfortable with the abduction scenario.
Like if you mix the, from Toy Story, the T-Rex with Woody.
It was very, I think MetaZoo actually has a card, the cowboy T-Rex from space.
Oh, wow.
Because it's such a famous story.
Story, yeah.
To where I think, I don't know if these are Fae, because Fae have a super fascination with children.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're actual ETs or if it's the interdimensional things like the Greys.
Right.
And they're putting on these faces. Whether I don't know if they think we like it or they think we don't like it.
Or it just might be something psychological. They know it just throws you off enough to where you accept it and you don't. It's not that you don't question it. You just don't feel as threatened by it.
And the panting. What do you think about that?
So I've heard that. I've heard like growling before.
So this is panting.
Yeah.
Like a dog, you know, a normal dog. This is more like normal dog on a human female body from, you know, Victorian England.
Right. Ain't that weird? I don't know.
The black smoke. So this living fog almost, where that's the paranormal entity putting on a face. I don't think it was a dog woman's ghost.
No, I don't think so either.
But do you think it's real? Do you think this happened? Yeah. Are you gonna call Jeremy a liar?
No, this was Jimmy.
Yeah, that's the but they actually signed off at it at the very end.
Oh, Jeremy. Oh, okay. You know what? I'm gonna say this one may have been either they're good storytellers, but
there's a lot of that on Reddit too.
Yeah.
It's a good story, well written. That's probably fake.
The only thing I can say is there's elements of the story that I've heard from people that shared stories that I do trust and believe, and I've seen evidence for.
Yes.
So that's about the best way I can fall on it.
Yeah, I think there is some. Yeah, the supernatural in your house, like
this may not be real, but I've heard real stories or
very similar
from people that I do believe that I've seen evidence for that I believe are real.
My next one for you, this is the only one I doubled up on was Dogman.
Oh, yeah, no, Dogman story.
I found a really, this one's a lot shorter.
Okay.
Terrifying. Remember Dogman's bad, right? I don't care what anybody says, Joel.
Dogman bad. Don't do Dogman.
I guess he said that about Nephilim. Stuff. He said good Nephilim, that was the episode.
Oh.
No, when me, him, and Juan did a panel episode about Dogman.
Yeah.
And they said there were some good ones, and I tell you what, I don't believe it.
Well, I mean, in the ancient depictions, you know, there's the dog-headed people.
Dog-headed people. That's a different episode. We'll do it. I don't think they had dog heads.
Just saying.
I think it was a derogatory term from the main culture that didn't like them because they had land that they wanted.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, well, that always plays a factor.
Like the Native Americans
were
savages that couldn't think.
Yeah.
Because we really like the Europeans really wanted their resources, so it was easier to kill them when you're like, they can't think.
Yeah, we do that modern day, like right now with like the Palestinian people. You know, they're just
check out.
They're terrorists. They're bad. Like they're awful.
Different show.
Yeah, they're just awful.
All right,
people who saying that are awful.
This one doesn't have a username. A deputy sheriff responded to a call from a teenage girl in a house in a rural area in the country he was working in. Her parents were in town. It was at night, or her parents were out of town. Sorry, it was in night. She was having a sleepover. There were several teen girls alone in the two-story house. Girls told 911 operator someone was upstairs tearing the house apart. Responding officer went to investigate, saw a big, hairy biped crashing through the room. It dashed to the adjoining room and fled through the window off the second story. So he gets there and immediately sees
a hairy thing dive out the window.
No, he sees because he's outside. Yeah. There's more information in the story. I'm doing the fun one.
Okay.
But he pulls up to the front. The girls are downstairs scared to leave.
Right.
Because they think there's an intruder upstairs. The best he can describe is watching the windows upstairs. This big thing is just tearing in and rushes and jumps out the window.
Yeah.
Okay. It fled through the window. He said it looked very mean and had giant red eyes. He took the girls and put them in the patrol car and locked them in there. He could hear it running, trashing through the woods, growling and howling. He soon realized that it had led him into an open area as he was chasing it. He was not comfortable with it. He felt like he was being led into a trap.
Yeah.
And he said he couldn't tell where the location was. He then immediately backtracked to the car. The parents arrived while he was interviewing the girls. He returned the following day with another deputy. Upon inspection, the side of the house had huge gouges in it. It looked like he had been struck with an axe. And you could see what it appeared to be a bear had climbed up into the second story window to gain entry. He walked towards the woods and he said he could feel like something was watching him. It also became very vocal, as if it was taunting and luring him into the woods. So the growling and the sound that kind of is almost like cackling kind of sound is like Adam.
Oh, hyena.
Thank you. He left and was never heard from again from the family. The story was on television from the Haunted Woods series, which is, I think, on History. So this is one of theirs.
Okay.
But yeah. So it's a quickie. That's why I threw it in there. It was just, so basically, I don't know. This is on the Haunted Woods, or These Woods Are Haunted, I believe is the actual name of the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, this giant biped rips through, cackling, taunting. The story is much more in depth than that. That's kind of the quick, fun version.
Yeah.
What do you think about that one?
Well, I mean, could it be a hyena? Did a hyena get in there? I would say.
No.
Yeah, I know.
A hyena crawled into the second story window.
With red eyes.
But it was tearing the house apart up there.
Yeah, maybe it's looking for something.
That's what I was getting at. You remember the Defiance Dogman episode?
Yeah, you're going to the mound, right? Mm-hmm. Was that the Defiance?
Well, we talked about it in several Dogman episodes. It seemed like Dogman are always looking for something.
Right, yeah. Because the one encounter that was, they seen it like digging at this mound, turned around, looked at the people that noticed it, went back to digging, and then scurried off after.
And the ones where the Dogman's on security cameras breaking into the thing in Michigan in relatively recent time, last decade, it was digging for something in the middle of this military compound.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't care about the military compound. There was just something that happened to be in the ground there that it really needed.
Needed, yeah.
I don't know. I think this is probably leaning on the more fantastical side of things.
Yeah.
But not out of character for Dogman behaviors.
No, not at all.
And I really think it's because there was a TV show about this one, right? I can't find any of the people, even for it being publicized and with TV and stuff like that.
Yeah, and if there was a police, if, you know, the policeman put them in their patrol car and stuff, there should be a police report involved with this at some point, right? On the record somewhere?
Yeah. Or maybe, I mean, it matters how much you want to believe that this stuff doesn't get immediately buried.
Right. But you should still be able to dig up a police report.
I don't know. So there were several, we've done them on our show, several police reports that are gone.
Okay.
And then they resurfaced, not from the police department, no, but on official police letterhead.
Right. Yes.
So I do think that happens, whether it's, let's say it's more the police department's embarrassed.
Right. They're just burying it.
Or they're told to get rid of it.
Yeah. It's something they don't want to talk about anymore, so they just kind of hide it. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, enough of this.
All right. My next one is sea monsters.
Ooh, I bet this is one of your favorites.
This is a really good one. I'm going to try to read this fully in voice and everything.
Is it a giant killer bowfin?
You got it. Absolutely not. You won't even be able to tell what this monster is.
We'll see.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing some more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she's decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over the 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Grace loves it. She just gobbles it up. Go check out Badlands Ranch. You can get there at badlandsranch.com/corncrew and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/corncrew today.
So this is from a diver. This is a really famous encounter.
Okay.
This one's also been on TV and stuff like that, but there's names attached. You can find the guy. All right. So All the way down, I was followed by a 15-foot-long shark. She was circling around me with full of curiosity, but made no attempt to attack. I kept wondering how far down she would go. She was still hanging around me for some 30 feet from me, at about 20 feet higher, when I reached the ledge below, which was the great black chasm of enormous depth. It was began too dangerous to venture further. I stood looking into the chasm while the shark waited for my next move. Suddenly, the water became to get colder. While the temperature continued to drop dramatically with surprising rapidity, I saw a black mass rise from the darkness out of the chasm. It floated upward very slowly. As the last light reached it, I could see that it was a dull brown color and a tremendous size. A flat, ragged edge of a thing, about 1 acre in extent. It pulsed and sloshed as I knew it was alive, despite the lack of any visible limbs or eyes. Still pulsing, this frightful vision floated past my level, by which the coldness had become more intense. The shark now hung completely motionlessly, either paralyzed by the cold or the fear or something else. While I watched, fascinated, the enormous brown thing reached the shark, contacted with her. While its upper surface, the shark gave several compulsive shivers and was drawn to the underside into the substance of the monster. I stood perfectly still, not daring to move, while the brown thing started to sink back down to the chasm as slowly as it had emerged. The darkness swallowed it, and the water started to regain the warmth. God only knows what that thing was, but I had no doubts that it had been born a primeval slime countless fathoms below.
Dang. Okay, so there was a shark circling them.
So this diver, this is a really famous encounter.
Okay.
I've known about this for a while, and I really didn't have a good place
to talk about it.
Put it into.
Yeah.
But Reddit kind of made it famous first, but it's been on several shows, and the divers come forward and talked about it and stuff like that.
So this one really happened?
I personally believe it did.
Okay.
This is like the fantastical tailing of it, like the really good written version.
Right.
For the campfire stuff.
Okay.
So this diver's getting tracked by a bull shark.
Right.
A really big bull shark.
Big, yeah.
He's not really sure what this shark's intentions is. Normally, bull sharks will stop following you if they don't have any intentions with you.
Yes, but this one's continuing to check him out.
Buried the whole dive.
Yeah.
And he's getting to his max depth, so he's trying to shake it. He's trying to go to where, you know, not becoming interesting and stuff like that, and she's not leaving him alone.
Right.
So he's kind of sitting at this point where I can't go any deeper, and he's near a reef drop-off. So it's just the bottom of the ocean.
Okay.
There's a lot. This is a scary place for a lot of animals.
Then a lot of things like wait. You're not just like looking down there.
A lot of things wait to eat things that venture too far out.
Over it.
Finding Nemo style.
Yes.
And then the water gets colder, which is an odd detail. Like whatever this thing is so big that it's dragging up the deep water with it.
Mm-hmm. Or what if it's just a current like swirling?
Now that could be too, where it's getting pushed up, upwells or what they're called. It could be that. I don't know. And that would make sense for what I'm going to tell you later. That it's a current upwell of cold water.
Mm-hmm.
But the shark paralyzes with fear or something else. Sharks don't really paralyze with fear, especially bull sharks.
Right.
No, they don't have that part of their brain. They really, you know, they have caution. Fear, I don't know.
Right.
You know?
Right. Something that paralyzes, stop it. No.
So why would the shark get paralyzed and the diver not?
Because.
You keep in mind, he's a deep water scuba diver.
Right. Well, what if it's a like some sort of jellyfish type thing?
But why would the diver not get paralyzed by it and the shark would?
Oh, okay. Then it's directed beams, so it's a sun, or what are those things, the stargazer?
Electric stargazer. No, you were right.
Jellyfish? Yeah. At first, my first thought was like
the deep water divers have no exposed skin.
Ah, that's why.
So if it's like getting hit with tentacles...
What if it was like a big eel, though, electric eel?
It was like a big blob.
Or moray.
This had no definable shape.
Okay.
To me, it's very much a jellyfish.
Or some cyanophore?
It could be, but with a the way it was... Heat? No, it wasn't a ligakeet worm.
Oh, okay.
No, I think it was a jellyfish.
Okay.
I think the shark got stung with the tentacles, and the diver didn't because the diver was fully covered, or at least 98% covered or whatever.
Right.
You know, when the deep water divers really don't have a lot of exposed skin.
Okay.
So I think the shark may have gotten hit with tentacles that the diver may have not been able to see.
See, yeah, like some thin ones. Well, is there any type of, like, sea, kind of like anemone-type thing that has long, like, strands that kind of hang out to entangle things in?
They're called jellyfish.
But ones that are, like, attached to the floor or something. I don't know.
Upside-down jellyfish. That's what a sea anemone is.
Okay.
Kind of like an ups. No, so this thing was freely moving with the current. It seemed. Okay.
That's right. That's right.
It rose
it
up.
Because it pulled it out underneath it. Yeah.
And then moved it to underneath its body where it would eat.
Well, what if that was its stomach or its guts, you know, like a starfish used to eject out? What if it was a giant starfish throwing its stomach guts up?
Wouldn't be floating very well. It'd be swimming. So the diver really didn't get any. It was just a big brown blob.
What are those red sea dragon?
Why didn't you want to talk about jellyfish for just a second?
I don't know.
Let's just talk about jellyfish. I did this only when I researched for.
Okay.
Because I don't know why you're trying to make it. It's, you were right with your first guess. It was a jellyfish, most likely.
Yeah, but you know, your gut gets you halfway
there. An acre big, though.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. I thought maybe that was a different unit, a measure, but an actual
acre. No, an acre.
That's big.
So, yeah, for anybody, like most farm ponds and stuff are like an acre in size and stuff. They're huge.
Big.
So, we really don't have any jellyfish that big, or even cyanophores for that matter, that big. But we have one colossal jellyfish that is a dark brown in color with a massive tentacles, and it just looks like an island.
Okay.
The lion's mane jellyfish.
Okay.
Now, we don't really know about their true size. The guys are found in pretty much every ocean, from the English Channel to the Arctic to the Antarctic to the Pacific to the Indian. You guys will wash up on Australia and New Zealand, from deep water, you know, to shallows.
Okay.
So that's a good candidate for that alone. The size, these are the world's largest jellyfish by mass and by length.
Okay.
Our biggest diameter that we have fully documented, and jellyfish are hard to measure, is a dead one that was 7 foot wide and 120 feet long.
That's pretty big. That's a massive jellyfish.
There are some evidence to suggest that there are a couple individuals that have been recorded in video that may have been 12 or 15 feet wide.
Jeez.
And they've probably been pushing 300 feet long. But keep in mind, that length is mostly from tentacle.
Right, yeah.
And their tentacles are very, very thin. Hard to see.
Okay.
And that's how they feed, right?
So he's pretty lucky this diver didn't dive into this.
We'll talk about their toxin in a second.
Okay.
So let's say it is a lion's mane. I don't think it's an acre big.
Okay.
He may have seen several of them getting pushed up with a deep water upwell.
Okay.
And they were just so close together, and it was such... Because he was right at twilight, he was talking about.
You don't see no discernible, like, beginning and end from one to the other.
I think they were pushed together, so it looked to him like one massive animal.
Right,
and it was probably dozens.
Because they probably don't have any hard edges.
Right, they're jellyfish, right? They're big, gelatinous creatures.
Right.
And if this is an like a deep-sea upwell, they may have been pushed together against their will.
Right.
They're not super strong swimmers. They can swim, but not... You know, they're current riders. But yeah, so I'm getting to their toxins. Here we go. So this is the one part of the story that they may not be a lion's mane, but it's maybe a close cousin.
Okay.
They don't have super strong venom. Human encounters with these jellyfish can cause extreme temporary pain and localized redness, depending on if you're allergic to their venom or not. In normal circumstances, however, most healthy individuals are stung by these jellyfish are not known to be fatal. And they're not even known to hospitalize people.
Okay.
Vinegar can be used to deactivate their tentacles. They contain a large number of these tentacles. However, medical attention is recommended if you are exposed just to get checked out. The problem with these guys is not their potency. It's the abundancy.
Yeah.
If one of these jellyfish is, let's say, you know, like I said, a 7 foot wide one had 150 foot long. If you accidentally get wrapped up, let's say they're pointing the wrong way.
Yeah.
And the tentacles came out first.
And he got
and he got hit by the shark. The shark got hit by him.
Okay.
They pull food in, right? So their tentacles will retract and pull food into them.
Okay.
So to me, it could make sense for this story.
Right. Like the shark just happened to swim through it.
Yeah.
And then just...
The shark was following the guy, didn't see the tentacles, or maybe did kind of, you know, sense them, but got whacked by them and got frozen.
Yeah, I mean, if it's distracted, if it is tracking the scuba diver, it might have been, you know, enough to be distracted and make a mistake, not expecting that to be there. Then it's right. Like, oops. And once you're in it, there's no turning back.
Yeah, so I think this is a real encounter. I think he may have, maybe a new species of jellyfish. Yeah. They discover new jellyfish all the time.
All the time. We don't know what's down there.
There is, I can't remember. Big or small. There's over a dozen species of large jellyfish that have only been seen one time by one individual.
Okay.
Over a dozen. I'm trying to think of the famous one. I think the eyed jellyfish, the double ring jellyfish is a famous one.
I feel like we talked about this.
There's jellyfish are super abundant. Yeah. But they're weird, right?
Yeah, like, a lot of weird ones.
They school.
Yeah.
And we don't know a lot about them. We talk about their intelligence is kind of hard because they don't have a nerve system per se.
Like, right.
What we would recognize as a central nerve system or a brain. But they navigate mazes and
shadow
they detect
biosphere.
Food.
They're part of the shadow biosphere.
Probably not. That's a different...
Oh, yeah.
That's a different word.
Oh, yeah.
Cryptic species.
There we go.
My last one I got for you. Bigfoot.
All right, a good old classic Bigfoot.
Hand of Doom 97.
Hand of Doom?
This is the oldest one I have for you. It was reported 6 years ago.
Real quick, just since you said Hand of Doom, I just seen a video the other day of a guy, you know, a traffic argument, and he's mad. And he, like, punches the window twice, and then he just open hand slaps the guy's window and just shatters it. And the first comment under it was the Hand of Doom. But the guy slapped his window and shattered
the Hand of Doom.
I was like, oh, it really was the Hand of Doom. But that's it. I don't know. It made me think of that.
All right. You ready for Bigfoot?
Yes.
August 5th, 2017, Mammoth, California. My ex-fiance and I were avid climbers, hikers, and explorers on this side of the east of the Sierra Nevada mountain range, and we decided to go up to Yosemite to climb. Now, Yosemite is stupid crazy to get a campsite reservation. So we decided to stay on the BLM land, Bureau of Land Management, a few miles down 395 from Mammoth, where we didn't have to pay that much for camping. We pitched our tent and got settled and made dinner. Then I went to set up our trash bag about 1,000 feet from the camp. I didn't like having bears so close to my tent. It started to rain a little. So he went into the tent and went to sleep around 20:30. That's 10:30.
Oh, gotcha.
It was probably 1:30 a.m. on the 5th when it had stopped raining, and I got out to take a leak. So I put on my flip-flops, my headlamp, and started to walk towards the spot. And I figured it's far enough away that it wouldn't attract anything. Now it had just stopped raining. So that's when it went dead quiet. So I dismissed the silence as everything was just hunkered down.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, he has the classic, you know, everything went silent, but he's like, it just, you know, finally stopped raining, so everything probably finally calmed down.
Mm-hmm.
So where I was taking a leak in the trash bag were about 200 yards to my right. As I finished up, I looked up to make sure the bags weren't blown away during the rainstorm. And it wasn't in the tree. So I looked on the ground and saw the biggest black bear I had ever seen. So I started hollering and screaming and making a lot of noise to scare it off. Then it effing stood up and looked at me. Just covered in hair, it stood up about 8 foot tall at the shoulder, as wide as a meter stick. Then it ran off. I said, F this. I'm going back to the tent and sprinted there the entire way. I get back to the tent and my fiance asked me why I was yelling, and I told her I was scaring off a bear from the trash bags. She snuggled right back in and fell back asleep. I'm wide awake, listening constantly for any movement, when I started hearing footsteps from around the car where we kept the food. Mm. And then the footsteps started coming towards the tent. I got scared thinking this thing, whatever it was just coming through the tent if it wanted to. It started touching the tent, and I could hear a heavy breathing and grunting. Then my fiance wakes up, freaks out thinking the bear, grabs the keys and hits the panic button on the car, and whatever the creature was, he had run off. I didn't encounter anything again on that trip, and I played it off to her that it was a bear that we should probably find somewhere else to camp the next night. On August 5th, we We packed everything up and left early to climb in Yosemite. When we came back that night to the new campsite, I was approached by another camper that I recognized from the previous, and he asked me if I had noticed anything weird going on the previous night. I told him the story, and he said he had heard me screaming and the car alarm both times shortly after something went to the full loop through his campsite. While going to his vehicle the next morning, he noticed that there were large handprints all over his car window, and he was freaked out enough that he moved to a new spot as well. He pitched a tent 30 feet from us, where we were all together, where we all remained at our trip. I'm not sure what it was, but the closest thing I can relate it to in my head is Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that kind of classic Bigfoot encounter.
Yeah.
Where it's heard dozens and dozens and dozens of time where Bigfoot's digging through the trash at these campsites. I fully believe the flesh and blood Bigfoot takes full advantage of these resources.
And food and yeah.
They know trash. People are messy eaters. There's a lot of food getting thrown away.
And there's like sweet snacks in there too.
Yeah, maple syrup, you know, crust and, you know, all kinds of stuff that for an animal that's eating salamanders and frogs and whatever it can find, a half piece of French toast.
Yeah, you get a nice processed meal. Good. Yeah.
So he sees this thing digging in the trash. Big one, you know, 8 foot tall, the shoulder, if he's being accurate.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's 9.5 foot tall with the head. That's a big one.
Right.
And it's digging, and he thinks it's a black bear. And you go, hey, bear. Hey, bear.
Right, then it stands up. Classic.
Almost Greg's encounter, right? You're thinking it's
kinda
a cow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it stood up, you know, and it kept going and going and, you know. And he runs to camp. And then this is kind of that Western Bigfoot style, to where an East Coast Bigfoot's going to take off. You know,
probably that'd probably at that point.
Be the end of the encounters for probably the week
but
or
this
more.
One coming back, circling back, if it is the same one, assuming
starts messing
it is.
With the car.
Yeah.
Starts messing with the tent.
Yeah.
Until the panic button. So every time it gets scared off, though, the neighbors, it's thump, 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 something running through their campsite.
Their area, yeah.
Imagine if you're that guy. You hear some guy, you know, 40, 50 feet away going, hey, hey, yeah. What the? Boom, 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 boom. You know.
You hear that in your area now.
You're like, what is that?
Yeah.
Because grizzly bears technically, here's the weird thing with California. There's no grizzly bears.
Right.
All the prospectors killed them.
Okay.
There's several areas, especially Northern California, where I fully believe grizzly bears are back. But there's a lot of black bears.
That are back or black?
Back.
Okay.
They've come back, you know, because they're moving back in.
That's just good for us going to...
No, Trinity's Alps is one of the spots where I think they are home.
So part of that...
We'll be bear mace.
They'll be bear mace, yeah. Should be.
A lot of bear mace.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of black bears too. I mean, there people see black bears there.
But
often.
Those ain't as.
I'm not as scared of a black bear.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially in a group of people.
Yeah.
Like, if there's three people, unless there's a cub involved, that changes everything with any animal's behavior.
Absolutely.
But a black bear was seeing two or three people 99% of the time.
It's gonna leave.
Going the other way.
Yeah.
They don't want anything to do with it.
They know better.
They get picked on by everybody in the woods.
Right.
They'll eat, you know, they'll eat deer and, you know, calves. I just seen a video of a black bear actively killing a full-size deer, which was pretty intense. It was on somebody's farm camera. It had chased this deer into the front yard and was, like, biting through the deer's neck from the back.
Gosh, that's scary.
Mah! The deer just screaming the whole time.
Yeah.
So you hear a scream in the woods. That's what's probably happening.
Yeah.
As something's getting murdered by something else. I don't know. What do you think of this story?
It hits a lot of the Bigfoot markers. I mean... It's hard saying whether or not, you know, real or not, because a lot of overlap with other stories. The one that sticks out to me that I do believe, though, is Les Stroud's story when he's in the tent. I'm pretty sure it was him talking about it, where he's camping in the woods, and he might have been with his wife at the time, his wife. I don't know his marriage status at the moment. I feel like he was with somebody. I think it was Les Stroud, talking about when they were in the woods and he just heard the footsteps come close up to the tent and then walk off. And when he looked out, you know, he didn't see nothing, but he heard and felt it. That was the thing he said, he felt it. It would have been something if the guy in the story would have said he felt footsteps. It's just a little detail, you know. Definitely, if you experience or feel, you're going to talk about it, but I don't know. If it's real, I can believe it. I could believe it being
real.
It's
very much, I mean, whether it's real or not,
yeah,
these things do happen.
Right, yeah.
You know, now that it's one of those things, we've been doing this almost 3 years, working on it, and you still unlock memories, both of us, every once in a while, knock something loose.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking back to all of our friends and us, you know, me and Emily used to camp on Wayne National and all of our friends that used to camp out there and stuff like that. And they would talk about this, like, because they always blame the homeless people or the weird people out there.
Checking your stuff out?
People would walk into your tent, look at you, like, stand right on the edge of your tent, and then walk away.
Yeah.
And now I kind of think about how many of those were actually people and how many more maybe Bigfoot.
And then how many were maybe Faye presenting as people.
There's all of it.
Yeah.
You know, and then you fall into a mine shaft and they just laugh at you.
Yeah. Never heard from again.
But that has been Campfire Stories.
Yeah, I like this. This is fun.
Yeah, Reddit Roundtable or whatever you want to call it. There's all kinds of there's more fantastical ones, believe me. I found several really fantastical ones. And if people want to hear that, let us know. If you want to hear the more fantastical side of Reddit encounters.
Right.
Because there's some of those that are halfway between this and Creepypasta.
Almost like that one encounter, that famous one of the guy who sees the Bigfoot, you know, in the tree, helps it, and then he goes, meets the little old lady.
We still got to do that as a full thing.
She's feeding the Bigfoot, like, babysitting 19 for him.
There's a 19-foot tall dad that watches SpongeBob on the TV she has strung out there.
Something, yeah, it's part of it, yeah.
I think, was that on Wes's show, Sasquatch Chronicles?
It was, yeah. Good story, really entertaining, but where do you draw the line, you know?
And who knows? I mean, that could all be Faye, the whole way down.
Yeah.
You know?
It all could be true.
Right.
But
it's not. In my opinion, that story has nothing to do with flesh and blood Bigfoot. When she's talking about the one that's 19 foot tall that sits on the edge of the property and has to watch SpongeBob every night.
Well, I don't know if that one in particular is watching SpongeBob, but...
No, I remember. She's talking about the whole big family when they'd come
out. Yeah, the family would watch, yeah.
And that big one would come to the house and drop off the kids, basically do her to watch.
She'd talk to him, yeah, and he'd, yeah.
There was one famous one, now that we're on it, before we go. I really want to find this story, so if anybody at home can help me find it, I'd really appreciate it.
Call to arms.
That there was a famous encounter, and I'm sure it's on Wes's show, but he's had well over 1,000 episodes.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go back through and try to find it.
Yeah, it's hard, yeah.
Where this little old lady, I believe it was Kentucky, but it was like Appalachia, where she had a Bigfoot come up to her property, and I can't remember, she had something that it wanted. And it finally, one day it approached her. She had seen it a couple times on like the edge of her property.
Okay.
And finally it approached her, and she lived by herself and stuff. And she's like, I wasn't scared of them, because if they were going to do something, they would have done something.
Right, you know, by now.
Over a year of seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
And finally it came up to like the back door. And it was, I can't remember if it was some kind of goodie or something like that, but it started pointing at it, making noises. Like, she said, it was like it was talking. I just didn't know what it was saying. And it had two big onions. And she's like, I don't know where it got the onions, but it kept trying to give me the onions. And it wanted this thing, so I gave it, and it handed me the onions left. And she's like, every once in a while, then they'd come back, and they'd always bring, like, two or three big red onions.
That's so awesome.
And would trade something. Like, it would want something. It never took. She's like, as far as I know, it never took anything.
Yeah.
And I never refused to trade, because most time it wanted, like, it was something simple stupid, stuff. Like a couple cookies. Or, you know, something she was simple. Cooking. And, you know, I don't ever think you should feed Bigfoot or give Bigfoot food.
Habitualize it,
But this is her described. Me, it sounded like a lone female Sasquatch, because it was a large, it wasn't like super masculine.
Yeah.
But it was round. She's like barrel-shaped. And to us, you know, that more points to a female Sasquatch for child-rearing and stuff like that. That makes a lot of sense.
Child-bearing.
Yeah, for biological purposes, being a large animal. I don't know. If anybody can help me find that story, I'd love to cover it. I just can't find it. And that's a rough rendition of it.
Right, yeah.
I can't remember what it was traded, but she's like, I remember that it was like store onions.
Yeah.
They weren't dirty.
Yeah.
And she's like, I never knew where if my neighbors kept missing onions.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I don't know if they were trading onions with somebody else.
Maybe they
and I was the third person in the list.
Maybe they farming them out back. They're agricultural in the middle
definitely,
of the woods.
I think, at the bare minimum that they were
bringing them out.
Stealing them from an onion farm.
Or that too.
They were big domestic red onions.
But
they don't remember. They don't seed, right? We have to make those onions.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe they know. Maybe they figured this out.
Like a lot of those domestic onion breeds.
Yeah.
Don't exist in the They won't exist in the wild.
Gotcha.
Hmm. Wandering onions are about the only one I can think of that actually still produce baby onions.
Gotcha. Yeah, I have no idea. Not an onion expert.
Well, I don't eat them, but I've grown a lot of them.
I was gonna say you kind of are by just
being avoiding them. Yes. I have to avoid them or I'll die. But no, yeah, if anybody can help me find that encounter,
yeah,
I'd really appreciate it, or at least a link to it, because I think that's one of those cool encounters.
Yeah.
To where there's a lot of these weird Bigfoot ones, and we always try not to do tons and tons of Bigfoot stuff.
Right, just cryptids are
it's saturated.
A wide bag, yeah. So we like to hit them all.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking of onions, our last thing before we go, something that's not quite an onion, but it's really close is garlic. And if you like garlic, Flavors of the Forest.
Very not related.
Huh?
They're not related.
No, but like in cooking, they're close, you know, in cooking terms. If you use onions, you're probably going to use garlic in the same recipe. So if you like if you like garlic, and you like garlic powder in particular, you know, sometimes you put garlic powder in your food, yeah, it makes it taste better. But if you really want a punch of flavor that's just going to make every dish better, Flavors of the Forest garlic dust, garlic breath, their premium garlic dust powder is the number one garlic powder ingredient you can obtain or get. They 100% freeze dry 100% pure garlic clove, no additives, no filler, nothing. Your garlic powder you buy at the store now is going to have filler in it, just so they can produce more and more and make more profits for Big Garlic, you know, the big garlic company. This is a small upstart company that produces grow their own garlic product. They freeze dry it themselves. It's 100% garlic clove ground down into a garlic powder spice. It is full of flavor. You can put it next to the garlic powder you buy at the store and just see the difference in the color alone. I promise you, this is the best garlic powder you can get. You can only get it at flavorsoftheforest.com, and you can get a discount with our promo code flavorsoftheforest.com/corn. That's flavorsoftheforest.com/corn.
All right, guys. We'll catch you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye. Bye.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.